Jude sein. Okay, we're up to the Gemara of Yud Zayin Omid Aleph at the bottom, if you remember. We just referred to the halacha, which tells us that when the Beis Din cannot come to a conclusion, so for example, you have a Beis Din of 23, one of them says, I don't know. He cannot come to a conclusion. And the others are exactly split. You have 11 in each direction. So the Gemara referred us to the Mishnah in Daf Mem, the halacha of Moisifin. Moisifin means you'd add an extra dayon. In fact, you'd add an extra two. So you initially had 23, you're now up to 25, one of whom has backed out, as it were, because he says he's unable to come to any type of conclusion. And the remaining 24 will have to pass in the halacha. So have a look at the Gemara. We're up to the fifth wide line, the bottom of the Gemara, bottom of the Omid. Says the Gemara, V'omer above all, B'moisifin, sorry, just one second, there's a baby crying here, excuse me. Okay, we have guests. Just looking after them for a moment. Hello.
Oh.
One second, one's a bit unclean, I think. I'm not sure if I can say a share. One second. Okay, come. Should we find you something to eat? So, my wife has just popped out for a minute here. Come with me. Look, come with me. Come. Say bye bye.
Okay.
Come here, come here. Moshi, come. Okay, apologies. Okay, we're being recorded. Okay, apologize for the delay. Says the Gemara again. Va'omer Abavol, says Rabavol, B'moisifin, Oisin, Bezdin, Shokul, Lechatchila. Remember we discussed, this is a rather strange sounding halacha. If you initially had 23 on the Besdin, one of whom was unable to come to a conclusion, the remaining 22, as mentioned, were split down the middle, 11-11. So you add another two Dayanim. Now, technically, you now have 25 altogether on the Beis Din. But practically, you don't, because one of them has said, I can't come to a conclusion, which really means that you now have 24 active Dayanim, which basically means you have a Beis Din Shokel. And that's what Rav Avohu is pointing out. B'moisifin, when you have a situation in which you need to add Dayanim, oisin bezdin shokul lechatchila. It turns out that lechatchila, we are putting ourselves in a situation of a bezdin shokul. Now, although it's true that's a tremendous chiddush, but Ribavo doesn't seem to be adding anything to that which is mentioned in the Mishnah. Yes, it's a tremendous chiddush, but it's not Ribavo's chiddush. That's what the Mishnah told us. The Mishnah said if you have 23, you go up to 25. So I think we can all work out the numbers ourselves. If now, out of those 25, one of them are non-active, so you're making a Beis Din Shokel. So what exactly is Rav Avohu pointing out? Says the Gemara, one word question, Pshita. It's Poshet. I mean, it says so in the Mishnah. Now, I'm pointing this out because this is not the classic, this is not the normal question of the Gemara Pshita. Normally, when the Gemara asks Pshita, it means to say, you're telling me something which is very obvious. In this particular case, that's not quite the translation. Rav Avohu is not telling us something obvious. He's telling us a tremendous chiddush. So nobody can ask Rav Avohu, isn't it overwhelmingly obvious? But over here, what the Gemara really means to ask is, albeit it's a chiddush, what exactly are you adding to the Mishnah? This chiddush is explicit in the Mishnah. Have a look at Rashi. That's the way Rashi explains the Kasha. Have a look at the Rashi. B'moisifin, oisin, bezdin, shokul. When you add two dayonim, you make a bezdin shokul, kedepricious, says Rashi, as we have already explained. Pshita. Dahochi, behedya, tnan. So Rashi clearly explains that the question is that we have stated clearly in the Mishnah that what? V'kamo moisifin shnayim, shnayim. You always add in numbers of twos. That is a quote from the Mishnah. V'kiven dechad omar eino yodea, and seeing as one of them has said that I don't know, havalu bezdin shokul. Well, that turns out, therefore, you have a bezdin shokul. So Rashi is pointing out that the Gemara's question is not, you're telling me something very obvious, it's so poshut. Rather, what are you adding to the Mishnah? Albeit that it's a tremendous chiddush, this principle you can make a bezdin shokel, but the Mishnah says so clearly. So the Gemara answers, says the Gemara, no. Ma'u detema, because I would have thought, Hai de ka'omar eino yoidea. I might have thought that the one who said, I do not know, remember in the initial sitting of the Beis Din, he said, I cannot come to a conclusion, I don't know. So I would have thought that that particular Dayan, keman de ise domi. It's as if he's still very much there. Although at the moment he was unable to come to a conclusion, but we don't disqualify him. And ve'i Omar Milsa, Shaminale. And maybe if afterwards, now that we've added an extra two Dayanim, if he was to an express to express his opinion, well, perhaps we would listen to him. We haven't thrown him off the Beis Din just based on the fact that until this point he couldn't come to a conclusion. Komash Malon, that no, that's what Rav Avohu was pointing out. Dahai de Ka'omar Eino Yoidea. The Chiddush is that the one who has said, I do not know, Keman de Leis Domi. It's as if he's not there. The Yomar Tamalo Shaminon Le. Even if he now has an opinion to express or perhaps a little point to point out, once we got to a final conclusion, as it were, this is not the discussion stage, obviously. Once the Dayanim are initially discussing this case, and if a Dayan says, I cannot come to a conclusion, and then afterwards, based on hearing the counter arguments backwards and forwards, he says, at second thoughts, I'd like to express my opinion. Well, obviously, he can do so. But once you've reached, as it were, the final vote, you've completed the discussion, now you come to the vote to the Dayanim. And 11 voted in one direction, 11 voted in the other direction. And he said, I cannot cast my vote. That's very different to at the initial stage saying, I haven't yet come to a conclusion. This is not the initial stage. This is the final stage where we're tallying the votes. And he says, I cannot express my opinion. So therefore, we're left out of 23 Dayanim, only 22 who are prepared to vote. So the chiddush is that he's now out. Command the Leis Sodomi, and even if you now try afterwards, once they add the extra two Dayanim to the Beis Din, if you would now try and add his tuppence worth, as they call it, nonetheless, he has no business anymore pointing out his opinion, and we would not even listen to him. So it really has become a Beis Din shokel, as it were, says Rashi. The E Omar Tama, if he now starts giving reasonings, Mare Ponim Lechoivo, he explains on the one hand how there could be a direction to consider him guilty, Umare Ponim, and he shows a direction, Lizchus, in other words, he shows exactly Umishum Hochi Mesapkele, and he explains to them why it is that I have a Sofik. Is he allowed to at least explain his reasoning? Is he allowed now to at least be involved in the next part of the discussion to explain, listen, on the one hand, you could say Chayev. On the one hand, I'd like to explain why you could possibly say Potter, and that's why I can't come to a conclusion. And the answer is no. We don't want to hear anything about your opinion. Once we got to the final vote, and you were unable to cast your vote because you could not come to a conclusion, then you are out. Such that when you bring the next two Dayanim, so of course, technically, it's still a 25-man Beis Din. But practically, it's not. Practically, it's a Beis Din shokel. What will happen if, therefore, remember, we don't like having a Beis Din shokel. So if they come to a split decision, so you'll keep on having adding two Dayanim, 24, then you go to 26 and 28, until eventually there is a split decision and not a absolute half-half. Yeah, Reb Larry.
Once we disqualified this guy, in essence, we have an even number. If we keep adding two, we're going to go even, 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 which is begging for a shuckle. Why don't we go three or one?
Yeah, that's what I said. Because technically, at the end of the day, it is an even number. It's an odd number, Bez, and that's the way it started. And therefore, like I said, if we keep on bumping into a problem of 12, 12, 13, 13, we're going to keep on adding two until eventually the extra two vote in one direction. So it'll no longer be 14, 14. It'll actually be 15, 13 or 16.
Like Midya Raisa or is it Rabbanon? Because
we'll have to see that in good time.
Because if it's a Rabbanon issue, then you'd think they would say, let's add three so that we wind up in an odd and don't do this all day.
This is all Minate. Now, have a look at the next line of the Gemara. And I need a little bit of help from Yosef over here because I'm having trouble understanding this next line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Kahana. Says Rav Kahana, Sanhedrin Shera'u Kulon L'choiva. What happens if you have a Beis Din who every single one of the Dayanim, they all seem to be pointing in the direction of Choiva? You've got 23 Dayanim, and at the moment, all 23 of them all seem to be pointing in the direction of Chayva. Well, that seems to be an overwhelming psak, and we would have thought that's every reason to say, well, obviously he's guilty. It's so obvious that he's guilty that there's not one single dayan on the Beis Din who could possibly think of exonerating him. And yet, says the Gemara, the exact opposite. Poitrinoiso, we would exempt him. That's it, he's dispatched home. Why? My timer. What's the reason? Given the Gemiri, because we have learned there's a very important halacha, and it's called Halonas Din. What is halona? Halona is like the word lina, linas laila, to remain overnight. There exists the concept of keeping the Beis Din, as it were, undecided until the next day. Why so? Lemevad lei zechusa. Because we want to try and think, perhaps we can come up with a zechus. Vahani, and these 23 dayonim, who have all come up with the same decision, suloi chozule, they are no longer fitting. Now, Rabbi Yosef, I'm just curious, how did our scroll exactly translate that halacha of halonas din?
Well, an overnight delay.
Right. So why are these dayonim not chozule anymore?
But will not consider. They won't consider any basis for acquittal.
So when is there a halacha of halona? When would you do halona?
It seems. You mean what time?
No. What would be the scenario in which you would do halona, and why in our case do you not do so?
I see. But it seems, oh, very vivid.
How do I
Where it
explain?
says here, where the halona is where the vote is to convict, not necessarily 100%.
So it sounds like as follows. The way I'm understanding it is as follows. We know, as has been mentioned, in order to convict him, to consider him guilty, we have to have a majority decision. So of the 23 dayanim on the Beis Din, in theory, 13, for example, can consider him guilty, 10 would consider him innocent, so that's definitely a clear majority. Under those circumstances, however, before we actually bang down the gavel and we come to a final psak and tell him he's guilty, we would do halona. Halona means, okay, we're going to leave this overnight. It's clearly not overwhelmingly obvious because you see that there are 10 dayonim who think he's innocent. So perhaps some of the 13 dayanim who consider him guilty overnight, sleeping over it, may reconsider and perhaps see that you could acquit him after all. However, in our case, where you have all 23 dayanim leaning in one direction, and there doesn't seem to be any tzad to exonerate him at all. So here the Gemara says a tremendous chiddush that there's no point leaving it overnight because there doesn't seem to be any basis to declare him innocent. There was not one dayan who could possibly think of an argument to let him off the hook. And if that's the case, we cannot fulfill the halacha of lina, of halonas bezdin. The whole purpose of halonas bezdin is but perhaps the guilty sayers will come round to the opinion of the innocent ones. But where they're all pointing out that it's guilty, well, clearly it's extremely unlikely that any of them are going to backtrack because it seems to be that all the evidence is overwhelmingly against it. So I would have thought, if you would have asked me, that's all the more reason to say, well, let's just close it up today then. And consider him guilty. And that's the Gemara's Chiddush. No, I don't. There's no such thing as closing it up on the first day. You always have to have halona. But where halona is not possible, why? Because it clearly is not going to produce any effect whatsoever, then the whole Beis Din is disbanded. So have a look at the Gemara again. My timer. Kiv and the Gemiri, once we have learned there is a halacha. Halonas din. We've got to keep the din overnight, lemeved lezechusa, to examine the possibility of exonerating him after all. But Vahani, but these 23 Dayanim who all seem to be sharing the same opinion, Suloi Chazule. They are unable to be Makayim this halacha of halona, says Rashi. Have a look at Rashi, given the Gemiri. Given the Gemiri, says Rashi, the boi halonas din. We have learned elsewhere that you need halonas din, the perek hayubaitkin, in the perek called hayubaitkin. And it says there that what? She'im loy motzu loy zuchus yoim rishain. If they couldn't declare him innocent on the first day, malinin oisei lemocharos. Well, then you would keep the Bezdin going till the very next day. Shemo yimtzu lohem tamei zechus. Maybe you would be able, after overnight, to be able to change your opinion. But where all 23 all seem to be pointing in the same direction, then we would exempt him. As we well know, by the way, the Gemara tells us that it was an extremely rare thing that Bezdin ever actually put somebody to death. There is a discussion. How rare is that? One Gemara says that if you put somebody to death more than once in 70 years, that would be considered a murderous Bezdin. So we clearly see this is not an everyday activity. They were not just off with your head at ease. And we'll see more of this later on in the Masechta, how they obviously did everything they could at the end of the day to exonerate him. Yeah.
So are they trying to say that in all of Klal Yisrael, there was never a case where it was two solid Edim who saw someone do something with a warning, and he's chayav Misa?
End of the first parak in Makkos, which talks about, and some of this will be mentioned later on in our Masechta, how there are so many different arguments that you could propose to, in fact, exonerate him. And therefore, there could well be somebody who's clearly Mechabel Shabbos. There could well be somebody who has aided him against him, and somehow we always manage to get him innocent. Not quite always, but almost always. Omar Rabbi, says Rabbi Yochanan.
Rav, perhaps in this case of overnight consideration, the way we learned it was that in every capital case, they have to undergo this. The case is not over until the next day.
Right.
They go home, consider, they have to think about it, they have to do Ian on the case and figure out, did they make the right decision? Perhaps in the case where it's unanimous, perhaps they would go home and say, you know, honey, let's have dinner. I have no homework tonight. He's thinking in his mind, Bezdin is so convinced, I don't even have to bother thinking of a way to exonerate this person.
Ah, perhaps. Okay. Right. So Rabbi Yosef, I'm just curious again, how do they translate with you? Maybe Ramosh Zedek's translation is more accurate. How do they translate the words poitrin oisei? Poitrin oisei. Sanhedrin, Shiro, Kulon, Ocheva, poitrin oisei. How do they translate that?
He is acquitted.
So he is completely acquitted. So carry on. Keep reading the translation of Yosef.
What's the reason? Because we've learned that an overnight... wait a minute. Where the vote is to convict, an overnight delay of the court proceedings is required in order to give the judges an opportunity to find a basis on which to acquit the defendant.
Right.
And these judges, having voted unanimously to convict, will no longer consider any basis for acquittal.
Now, do they have any footnote on that at the bottom?
A delay of judgment is a bit more. A delay of judgment is required only because more thought may lead to an acquittal.
Right.
Since that is not being considered in this case, the entire judgment is aborted.
Right. So it's not just that we're going to send them home and tell them you can get on with supper because there's nothing to consider. It's much more than that. We actually disband the total case and we acquit him. There has to exist the possibility of the Dayan having second thoughts, which is so unlikely in the case that all 23 Dayanim seem to be pointing in the same direction, that there no longer exists this possibility, in all likeliness, that anybody's going to reconsider. Well, under those circumstances, we're going to have to exempt him completely.
Are we questioning their qualifications at this point? Meaning, like, if all of you came up with one verdict of.
We're not. We're just saying it's extremely unlikely. There literally does not seem to be a second side to the argument, and there always has to be. So we're not possibly chas v'shalom querying their credentials, but we just say practically we cannot be mekayim the halacha of halonas bezdin. Okay, let's just make a start to the next line of the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yechon, Ein Moishivin Besanhedri. Who actually qualifies to be a Dayan on the Sanhedrin? We've never really spoken about this so far. Ein Moishivin Besanhedrin. You would not sit on the Beis Din, Elo. Firstly, Bale Koima, people who are tall or of stature. Ubale Chochma, people who are obviously very intelligent. Ubale Mara, very interesting, people who look good, handsome. Ubale Zikna means they were older. You cannot have a 15-year-old dayan. Now, what is the point of all of these qualifications? Surely we would have said that the number one and singular qualification to be a dayan, you have to be a Talmud Chacham, and that's that. Why would it matter if somebody was very tall and he was very handsome, etc., etc.? So have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bale Koima Umare. Why did they have to be people who were tall and stature, handsome? Shetehe Eimoson Muteles Alabrios. That people should be in awe of the Dayanim. Somebody who is of stature, somebody who's particularly handsome, very impressive looking, a person like that, others are in awe of him. And that is a critical qualification for the Dayan. You cannot have some feeble looking Dayan, even if he is actually a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Okay, carry on the Gemara. There are more qualifications. Says the Gemara on the second bottom line, Ubale Kshofim. Bale Kshofim literally translates as people who are masters in magical powers. Is that how they translate it, Rabbi Yosef?
Acquainted with witchcraft.
Right. They're acquainted with sorcery and witchcraft. Why is that important? So have a look at Rashi. Ubalik shofim, lahomis mechashvim. They have to have the ability and the confidence to be able to put to death those who involve themselves in magic or sorcery or witchcraft, bekishvehem, who are themselves confident in their witchcraft, lehinotzel midei bezdin. They think that they are able to squirm out of the clutches of Beis Din. We need Dayanim who are confident that they can overcome these types of people. Ulegalois ala mechashvin. And further too, there has to be people who have no qualms, no problem to spread the word and disclose that these people are witchcraft activists. Hamesisin umedichin bekishvehem. What does it mean, Hamasisin Umadichin? We know there's an Aveira called Masiach, they go trying to influence others to be involved in these types of Aveiras. Kagoyin Hamitzrim, Egyptians apparently were involved in this. So we need to have Dayanim who are unfazed, and they would have no problem in putting people like that to death or spreading the words that they're involved in these activities. If you have a Dayan who is afraid, here we have some hocus pocus guy in the Beis Din. What's he going to do? I'm afraid to paskin against him, or I'm afraid to disclose his true credentials, well, then he's become disqualified from being a Dayan. It has to be a Dayan who's not scared of anybody except from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he needs to be tall and handsome and wise and smart and elderly and have these koiches against witchcraft activists. Why? So that he should not be afraid of anybody.
Rabbi?
What?
Yes. I apologize.
Furthermore, the Yoidim, says the Gemara, Ba'ayin Loshim, it's also critical that a Dayan, unbelievable, knows 70 languages. Very, very high bar. He has to be familiar with 70 languages. Why? Sheloi Tehe Sanhedri Shema'as Mipi HaMeturgman. So that the Beis Din should not necessitate listening to a translator. If two Edim come to Beis Din and they testify that somebody's been Mechal Shabbos, the problem is they're talking in Chinese. The Dayanim don't speak Chinese. They're going to need a translator, a Meturgman. You cannot have a Beis Din relying on a Meturgman. Why not? Says Rashi. Look at the last Rashi on the Omid. Mipi ha-Meturgman, kesheboin eide loyazim. When foreign Edim come, loyazim is foreign. When foreign Edim come along, lohoid bifnehem, to testify in front of them, in front of the Dayanim on the Beis Din, loy yitzaruchu, they shall never necessitate lahamid, to appoint melitzim beinehem, a translator in between them. Why not? Dahavalei aid mipi aid. This is a whole sugya. Aid mipi aid. What does that mean? Aid mipi aid. You have to hear the testimony from the one who saw it, not from the one who heard from somebody else who saw it. So you cannot, for example, send the shliach to be an aid. Imagine two aidim come to Beis Din and they say, listen, we ourselves actually did not see Reuven be Mechalel Shabbos at all, but Levi and Yehuda, they did, and they've told us the story and we're here to report it. Sorry. That does not qualify, because that's considered an aid, mipi aid. It's a witness from the mouth of a witness. But the two who are actually testifying and talking to the Beis Din, they themselves did not see the story. So too, if you have a metargamon, even though those who did see the story are actually standing in front of us at the time, but ultimately we're not hearing them, because we don't understand a word they're saying. The only people we understand is the translator. The translator never saw the story. So I'm actually not hearing the Eidus from the people who saw the story. I'm hearing it from the translator, and that is a violation of the halacha of aid mipi aid. In order, therefore, to solve that problem, we have to make sure that we never need a translator. How so? The Dayanim must be proficient in all 70 languages. Tremendous chiddush. Of course, we know this from the Purim story. Mordechai HaTzadik was on the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin. He was proficient in 70 languages, and therefore he understood the conversation between Bigson and Seresh when they were planning to assassinate the king.
That's a quick question.
Yeah, we're running out of time, but yeah.
I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Tachlis, when you look at the Gedolei Ador over the number of years, they're not really very strikingly looking, you know, people. So how does this whole good-looking thing come to... You know, they're all pretty much, that's the last thing that you can see when you see them.
Well, on a Beis Din. We're talking about a Beis Din. There's a special halacha for a Beis Din. By the way, this only applies to a Beis Din who are carrying out a death penalty. Because nowadays we don't carry that out anyway, for reasons that we will also discuss later on in Masechta. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, this halacha is no longer applicable.
Maybe there's so many such Talmidei Chachamim that people view them with such chayin. They view them as beautiful. Their appearances are glowing and beautiful, not really mamish handsome, but they're just, you know, the people say when you met a gadol, you're drawn to his appearance.
Right. Yeah. Could be. Okay. We have to hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem will continue tomorrow, being well. Be well, everybody.